My name is Mark Duart. It's Saturday, October 14th, 2023. I'm in Fellowship Hall at Springdale Presbyterian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, with my friend and former scout, Mike Trick. Mike and I came to Fellowship Hall on Monday nights 50 years ago. That's where Troop 385 met, and we're here a couple of hours early today before a reunion of the former scouts of Troop 385. So, Mike, do you remember how old you were and roughly what years those were that you were a scout in Troop 385?
Exactly. It was from 69 to 73, 1973. And I was in there for 4 years until 1969 to 1973, 4 years.
Perfect. You would have overlapped a lot of the years that I was in Troop 385, too. What was it like in general growing up in this part of Louisville during those years? And what did being a scout in Troop 385 add to that?
At that time, the Vietnam War was going on. We just landed on the moon. Gas was 25 cents a gallon, as well as a loaf of bread. It still is. I was caddying at the age of 10 and started cutting grass around the same time, so I was kind of entrepreneuristic a little bit. And then I had an invite from a good scout friend of mine, Greg Temple, who invited me to this troop, and that's what began my Boy Scout time.
Cool. I mean, did you caddy at Standard Country Club?
That's where it was, just down the street, actually. And back in the days, you could carry two bags and make $4 each for the 18 holes. So it was a good little workout.
It was. It got you kind of out of bed and going and making some money.
I needed to do something. I really gravitated to the, with the Boy Scouts, it's the adventure, the travel, the experiences, the camaraderie. It was just such a perfect mix with our group and our troop.
When you think about your time in Troop 385 and the things we did, what were the things that you looked forward to most, and was there anything that wasn't as much fun?
I've prepared for that. You know, it was all fun. We had a great time, a great group of guys. Everybody cared for one another, and it was a special time and a special troop, because when we got out these jamborees with other troops, we could kind of see that we were a little bit larger in size. And our scoutmaster, Fred Williams, he took us all down the right road, and it impacted, I'm sure, everybody in this troop, and they've done something in their lives that's been to better other people.
Sure. When I think about the question, were there any things that you didn't like as much? There were some, challenges for me. Swimming merit badge was one of them, but, I sure enjoyed trying and eventually got it.
Absolutely. And that's part of the learning part of the scouts, all the different merit badges you could go and choose. Some of them are required for your rank advancement. And it was just a great program, and I just can't say enough good things about the experience we had at 385.
Yeah. So when you think back and what you were doing and how you felt, what are some words or phrases that you think would apply to you in those kind of scouting activities that you and I were involved in?
That kind of goes back to the oath, help other people. At the different times when you changed rank or moved up in rank, you'd always be over at Fred Williams, and he would ask you the three principles of the oath, and it was keep yourself mentally strong, mentally awake, and morally straight, and help other people at all times. And you're building a foundation here that we're not all wonderful people, but we do a lot of good as well. And that was very important, I think, in developing the character of a lot of people in our troop.
You know, we were talking, you know, earlier about how Mr. Williams would expect that we would drop by his house for a meeting every time we went from one rank to the next. You'd drop by his house for a 20-minute meeting where you would talk about things. But I remember one thing he always asked was, you know, have you done your good turn today? And I remember being caught flat-footed, you know, those first meetings. And then, you know, you go back the second meeting and you're caught flat-footed again, and you're trying to think, did I do anything kind to anybody today? You know, by the third or fourth meeting, it's more of a habit, so you weren't having to maybe go back 3 or 4 days to recall a good turn that you had done for somebody. Yeah, that those meetings kind of cemented bigger lessons, and was an incredible investment of his time. When we were talking about how many scouts there were, and you know, you advanced rank once or twice a year, especially in your early years. Yeah. Who were some of your friends in Troop 385?
Greg Temple, he invited me, and that got the whole ball rolling into the scouts. I have to give him credit, and some of the names allude to me right now, but it was a wonderful troop that we had, and I can't speak highly enough into that area. You know, you're looking for your good turn every day, trying to help the old lady across the street, but she wasn't always there at the corner, so you had to kind of reach out and look a little harder. I think this has resonated to me to do some of the goals, make some of the goals that I have, and give it back. I always try to give back in a special way. I'm not saying that these numbers were very big, but I'm saying that they are what they are because of the foundation that my character was built upon when I was in Scouts. I've been donations with Red Cross platelets. I've gotten over 750 blood platelet units in my lifetime, and I'm blessed every time I'm able to give something back to somebody. So I really benefit in that way for me, is helping other people.
Neat. Was there someone, you know, in the troop that, you know, stands out and is particularly memorable for you? And what is it about them that has made them, you know, so memorable for so long?
I know it's the answer should be another scout member, but it really goes to Fred Williams, who really put this all together and kept it together for so many years. And I have to say that that he was just always on the high road, and always wanting the best out of us, and for us to try and to succeed in the ways that he kind of sent us down that road. And he is definitely the one who I look to, and I've been so great, so thankful to have that kind of foundation brought together under my character.
Is there one situation that you were in with Mr. Williams that you remember and have thought about in your years after?
Right. He put this troop together. We had so many opportunities to get out and be an adventure by exploring the outdoors. Everything we did was learning, and he made this door open to so many people. Yeah. The trips to Rough River, the Mishimakwa Trail. I'm sure that a lot of other scouts have talked about the 20-mile hike in 2 days after a four-hour trip to get down there Friday night. We had parents that were more than willing to help us out. We were just, it seemed like it was so cohesive, so strong together that, you know, it was just, we're just riding on the right road. We're so blessed to have that come across in our lives.
Well, I'm just, you know, thinking about, you know, transporting, you know, a number of young scouts on a Friday night down to the start of the Mishimakwa. So we got out of school and maybe left Louisville 4 o'clock, 4:30 at the absolute earliest. But what did those parents do? Did they all go with us on the Mishimakwa?
No, some of them either went back and had other people come back, or that some of them stayed maybe in town. I'm sure Fred had recruited other adults to come along because sometimes we got spread out on the trail a little bit, but it was a difficult trail to lose. You know, you might have a lot of turns. So that was, you're right, it's 4 hours to get down there, and this was after a long 5-day work week for most of these parents.
Yeah, and just whenever I run into former scouts, you know, we're not talking more than 10 minutes before the Mishimakwa comes up. Yeah, it was incredible. I'm just now, you know, kind of appreciating the magnitude of the logistics of getting us down there, getting us through that hike safely. That's a stretch for our young people, you know, maybe not juniors and seniors in high school, but, you know, some of us were maybe in seventh and eighth grade.
Right.
You know, doing that for the first time. That was just remarkable. And I think Mr. Williams' blanket of all of his patches will be on display at the reunion. And one of the things I noticed when I saw pictures of that are how many patches he has from the Mishimakwa. Yeah, each one of those is just incredible.
There's a lot of people on the trail. I know that the first night you ended up at Sand Cave.
Yeah.
And that was a neat exploratory where you've got this big wide opening cave, and it's just kind of an angle for sleeping, but it's full of sand down there, and it's, that was our campsite for the first night. And then the next day we would come out of the woods, and that still took a couple hours. Even going down the hill wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But there were some annuals that the troop had that you know were coming up every year, and I think a lot of people gravitated to the annuals as well.
I remember, you know, spending those nights in Sand Cave, and I think a lot of the scouts put a lot of thought in how can I travel as light as possible so Killer Hill doesn't kill me. And so I just remember the range of sleeping bag strategies that the scouts had in an effort to be comfortable but not to carry an ounce of weight more than you absolutely needed to. And just looking at the range of solutions, I remember the space blankets that, you know, could fold up as really just a big piece of aluminum foil in your pocket. You know, that was one solution. Others had, you know, blankets, very small sleeping bags. But given that range, not everybody had a good night's sleep that night.
Oh, absolutely. They had some people that were using the plastic tubes. You know, you could set up tree lines, but you need to be down near where the tree line was.
Yep.
But a lot of it was weight, but we were so young we didn't pay any attention. We just took what we needed to have only and be prepared enough for anything we come across. And a pair of socks is probably the best thing to have is in those kind of hikes. They were just great times.
Yeah. Everybody was up and raring to go in the morning, no matter, you know, how well they slept.
Yeah, so, time to go.
Yeah. Is there anything else about, you know, Mr. Williams on the Mishimakwa or in other settings that you remember?
He was very patient, but he wanted us to go down the right road. I remember being down in Rough River. Everybody's trying to learn how to ski a little bit for the first time, and he was patient, so patient with many of the scouts that were trying to get their first ski going. And it wasn't that easy, and he still just stayed with them and helped them till they got there. And he was patient, and he was a man of character, and he definitely formed some of the characteristics of myself from him. I've been blessed there. Good parents and staying involved with the church, all these come together, and this is what we make as we're the byproduct of Fred.
Yeah, and thinking about the Mishimakwa and the Rough River trips, you know, all the logistics he had to think through and get in place so that we all got down there, had a good time, a safe time, and got back. Just awesome planning skills. And I think your tendency would be to kind of simplify and maybe not do such an ambitious trip. And I just respect him because instead of simplifying and reducing, if anything else, he made them bigger and better than they needed to be. Yeah. Is there a favorite story that, as you've gone through life and people asked you about being a scout in Troop 385, you reached for that story?
Yes, I do. And the Mishimakwa was probably one of the biggest, most talked about trips, and it was annual every year. We knew it was coming. Everybody was ready for it. And I think the annuals made it a little bit easier that we didn't have to find a certain new place to go to. It was something that we were familiar with. And you brought up the term Killer Hill, and that I've forgotten that term, and that was what that term meant, was getting up to start that hike the first couple miles straight up. But still a great time with so many guys.
I remember that well, too. Yeah, just an amazing place. Have you thought about going back and, you know, trying to hike that with your wife or some friends?
That's a thought, but it opened up my eyes. And since I've been retired, I'm hitting a lot of the national parks. Now, if it wasn't my experience with scouts to get me open the doors to the outdoors, maybe I wouldn't have done some of these hikes. And I was able to explore this with my kids too. So we've been out when it's been close to zero before, and it's great memories we have with my kids. So this is another attribute that the scouts had for me.
Yeah, I just saw when I was looking up the Mishimakwa that it is in Cumberland Gap National Park now. Why was it important for you to attend the reunion we're having this afternoon?
It's the camaraderie, and it's knowing what we all have learned together. I think that's our common thread, and there's a lot of enthusiastic response here. We're having a good reunion, and I just can't speak enough about the Boy Scouts and what it's done for me. And we all grew up together, and our foundations were all solidified at this time. We're better people for this. And I think with the other interviews, you're probably seeing the same stories from these scouts, that it's how it changed their life as well.
You bet. You know, for you then, how would you sum it up? What made your experiences in Troop 385 so special?
It was a limited amount of time. I was in the scouts for 4 years. at that point, I was more involved, became more involved in athletics, and I had to make a decision between the two. But I'm just so happy I've been able to experience the what I did with the scouts, and there was just so many opportunities out there that were given to us, and it's the people that make the troop, and we had a great troop.
And I feel the same way, that I remember you, and we've talked about some of this leading up to the reunion, but there's pictures of us in the newspaper pushing our bikes up Sleepy Hollow Hill because, you know, on an afternoon where we've got plenty of time, just heading out on our bikes and exploring and getting, you know, 20 miles from home was an adventure at a time where bikes didn't have gears or many gears, and they were heavy. And so pushing our bikes up that hill is really kind of testifying to how young we were, how heavy our bikes were. But Mike, we were far from home. That was always a good adventure to be out with you.
Absolutely. And we talked donuts while we're on that. So I was a part of helping fundraise for the scouts, the program that you had with the donut sales. And I remember those days. And basically, we all become salesmen or customer service and problem solving. That's all we do. And that fits pretty well. And we were talking about the donuts and how to do them better, get better sales.
Yeah.
And it was a fun time, too. So donuts for dollars, and it worked out well.
But I think a key piece of this that shows that, you know, what a great guy you were, and there were lots of others like that in our troop. But Mike, I was trying to earn my way to the World Jamboree in 1971 in Japan. And that's why I was caddying over at Standard Country Club and mowing lawns. But you were the kind of guy that I would say, hey, Mike, I'm going out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and knocking on doors and explaining how I'm selling Krispy Kreme donuts and how we're just taking orders on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but we'll be back at your door early Saturday morning. And that would have been a deal breaker for most teenagers. But Mike, you were the person that said, hey, I'll help you take those orders. I'll help you make the deliveries early Saturday morning and collect the money. And Mike, I tried to be, you know, fair and pay you, but I just want you to know that I never gave you monetarily the gratitude, the equivalent of the gratitude I felt for that support. And I think I always thought, well, you know, Mike will want to go to the next jamboree, and I'll help him earn his money by selling Krispy Kreme donuts. But life just kind of falls apart and people drift apart. And so I never was able to repay that great kindness. But I want you to know I've thought about it often, and that just crystallizes for me the great bunch of guys that we were spending time with in Troop 385. You were one of them and one of the best.
Wow, I sure appreciate that. But, you know, it's all giving back. You know, we that's what we do. You know, you help other people, not just with scouts, but in general in life. And I think if we had more people that cared like that, we'd have a little bit easier life here as it is today. So challenges are out there. But it was fantastic to be able to be a part of this troop at the time that I was in it for those 4 years.
And I've brought some of my patches from that World Jamboree, and I only hope that I gave you a patch or a neckerchief at the time, but just to make sure we're going to do that tonight, and I want to make sure you go home. And I see the scouting things that you've kept, and I want you to keep a patch from that jamboree because you were pivotal in my being able to go there.
I'm glad to be able to help you out with that too as well. It's just there's a lot of benefits when you help other people. It usually comes back to you.
So nice. I've enjoyed this so much, Mike.
Mark, the same with me as well. And God bless.